Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. We're live from the Auto Farm Studios on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, and we're going to start by talking baseball. In fact, we're going to talk a lot of baseball on the show today, but let's begin with the major leagues, because for the very first time, and I would say a good 2 months, I feel optimistic that we might get Major League Baseball after all. Now, the owners have sent a 60-game offer to the players, and what makes it even a little bit more intriguing is that MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred and Players Association Executive Director Tony Clark met today, and the latest offer is seen as massive progress considering where the parties have been over the last few days. See, I was under the mindset of the owners give us a bogus proposal, right? They give the fans, they give the players, they give the media a bogus proposal. The players immediately reject it, and we're done. However, there was an agreement that Rob Manfred could say, we're playing on this day, and this is the amount of games that we will be playing, and the players could block that with a grievance. Well, under the latest proposal, here's what it is. The season would begin July 19th. That gives us 4 weeks. 60-game slate containing 10 days off. Now, according to ESPN, both sides of the negotiation says there's an expectation that will result in 65 games. And Rob Manfred did say in a statement that he and Clark met yesterday and saying that the session produced the framework of a deal. Here's what he had to say. At my request, Tony Clark and I met for several hours in Phoenix. We left that meeting with a jointly developed framework that we agreed could form the basis of an agreement and subject to conversations. I summarized that framework numerous times in the meeting and sent Tony a written summary today. Now, according to Jeff Passan, who is one of the best baseball Twitter handles to follow right now, he's fantastic as far as the information that's coming from the story. The offer does include an expanded playoff format. Now, Major League Baseball had three proposals to start the 2020 season, and the Players Union had two. And this is why it just seemed like it was doomed. They were about $1 billion apart in guaranteed salary. Players were set to earn about $4 billion in salaries before the coronavirus really shut everything down. So the union had cut off talks as of last Saturday. That was a day after the owners gave another proposal that was just completely hogwash. Okay, and then Monday, just 2 days ago, Rob Manfred said he wasn't confident that there would be a 2020 baseball season. But again, the sides reached a deal on March 26th, in which the players agreed to prorated salaries and it included a guarantee of service time even if no games were played. So this has been a really head-scratching, confusing, exhausting story to follow over the last little while. But again, for the very first time in a while, I feel like we may just get Major League Baseball. Now, with that being said, I think there are a couple of things we have to consider here. I've been of the mindset that you couldn't play a 50-game season. You just can't do it. It's not the way Major League Baseball rosters are set up. But 66 games makes sense because it gives you 12 games against each divisional opponent. And that's what's ultimately important if we're talking about Major League Baseball. How many times you get to play divisional opponents? How many times you get to go through the pitching rotation? I mean, that's where the bulk of the standings are decided. And so if we can get to around 65, 66 games at this point in time, look, I know we'll take anything, right? If you're a baseball fan, this is terrible right now. I miss West Coast baseball on nights like last night. My wife and daughters are sleeping. I'm up, can't sleep. Boy, I could turn on my MLB ticket and watch. I don't even care. I don't even care if it's the Angels and the Royals. I just want to see some West Coast baseball at night. That's what I really want to see. You know, forget the fact that I'm a diehard Dodger fan, and I know we got a lot of diehard fans out there with their squads. It's just having baseball on. It's like comforting to have that on with TV. I think we have made a huge, huge step in getting a season done, and we will talk more about this a little bit later on. One of the things that we haven't really dived into yet is how different the seasons would look over the past 5 years if we played that 50 to 60 game mark. How different would it look? I want to take a look at that later on in the show today. We'll get to that in just a bit. Now, there are other sports that are already off and rolling, like the PGA Tour. And some good news if you're into the game of golf. The PGA Tour reported a second straight week of zero positive coronavirus tests with the RBC Heritage, which is set to begin tomorrow at the Harbortown Golf Links. Now, the total of 954 tests over 2 weeks includes the 98 players, caddies, and family members who boarded chartered flights from Dallas on Monday to travel to the Hilton Head for the second event of the PGA Tour's revised schedule. So we got it last week. Still, no positive test, which is fantastic. The PGA Tour has a revised schedule because they shut down for 13 weeks because of the pandemic. But again, this is just a great sign for things to come, especially if we're talking Major League Baseball or we're talking about the NBA, which is going to a bubble. Because again, 98 different players, counting the caddies, counting the family members that have come along with them. This is just the first of five events that we had this past week that the PGA Tour has scheduled without spectators and with plans to have a limited number of fans for the Memorial Tournament, which is on July 16th. It's a huge step forward. Now, the way the PGA Tour is rolling, coronavirus testing is required for all players, caddies, and other tournament personnel, but only half of those who are on the site are tested. And that's probably something that's going to change moving in to the Travelers Championship, which is going to be played next week in Connecticut. But the way things are working right now, the COVID-19 saliva tests are working and the PGA Tour is moving full head of steam. And again, the NBA, which is still a little over a month away from taking off, can sit back, it can evaluate, it can see the way things are rolling with COVID as far as the PGA Tour and even NASCAR is concerned. Right now, all things very, very good on that end for the PGA Tour. That's a look at what's happening right now on the national sports front. A good show lined up for you today. In fact, we're going to talk local baseball in just a moment, but we'll step away from the Legion ranks. We're going to talk USU Eastern baseball. Right now, USU Eastern and Drive Time Sports teaming up for some team spotlights. We did this over the last 2 weeks. We had soccer, we had volleyball, and this week we're focusing on baseball. And really, it's a season that when you go back and you look at the record books, it's just bizarre all the way around. Because we only got 20 games of the JUCO season, and JUCO baseball's long. They play a lot of baseball in a short period of time. But the Eagles were being led by first-year manager Kirk Haney, and they performed quite well. If you just want to go statistical importance here, or statistical relevance, you go back to 2019, this team hit 240. Over the course of the season, they won four games. 2020, they hit 310. They had already won 11 games, two of which came in conference play when the season was stopped. So Kirk Haney, the youngest coach in the Scenic West Athletic Conference by a mile, only 25, 26 years old, did a terrific job with this team. We're going to talk about the season. We're going to talk about what next year looks like. Because again, one of the interesting facts with the pandemic, it affects JUCO sports more so than any other. And I say that because all these kids, the NJCAA gave them, spring sports participants, they gave them a year of eligibility back. How does that affect next year's recruiting class? It changes things up a little bit, especially for programs that deal with budget issues or have a restricted budget year in and year out. So I want to talk to Coach Haney about that. Also, there is some construction going on at the Carlson Klosmo Field. We'll talk to Coach Haney about that as well. Plus, we'll dive more into the Major League Baseball saga. I believe we're going to get a season now. I really do. I think that some big positive steps took place today. We'll talk about that. And also, the NBA made the announcement yesterday of which hotels teams get They broke him down into three tiers. Good news for the Utah Jazz. They are a top-tier team, meaning they will stay in the lap of luxury as far as the hotels in Florida. All that is coming up here on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Plus, we'll give you a local sports recap in just a moment. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Let's talk baseball here on the Coach's Corner. Each week, over the next few weeks, we're going to be highlighting a specific USU Eastern sport. And you can get a write-up and recap at CastleCountryRadio.com. Last week, it was volleyball. The week before, it was soccer. Today, it's going to be baseball. Now, the baseball team had a very interesting year, to say the least. They only got 20 games in, but under first-year head coach Kirk Haney, who is the youngest coach by quite a ways in the Scenic West Athletic Conference, they improved their win total from 4 to 11, and they didn't even get a full season. It's too bad. I would have liked to have seen how high this team was going to climb under Coach Kirk Haney, and he is actually joining us right now over the phone to talk about that, recruiting for next year, and what the summer looks like for his program. Coach, it's definitely a pleasure again to get you on the show. Thank you for making time.
Hey, good to be on. I'm excited.
Yeah, Coach, I know it's just really a weird time. You know, we've talked over the last couple of weeks to Coach Jared Woodhouse. We've talked to Coach Daniel Jensen as we continue to make our rounds throughout the USU Eastern ranks. And now we can talk about baseball. I know the season was cut short. You and I actually had a conversation the day the NJCAA made the announcement that there would be no season. So since that point in time, how have you been able to maintain the program as a coach? What are some of the things that you've tried to do, really, in this unprecedented time?
A lot of it's just been connecting with players, making sure that we stay in communication, seeing how their workouts are going at home, and just looking forward to next year. A lot of our guys are really excited. They saw our potential. And so they went home with the desire to come back even better, which has been great.
One of the things that I really found interesting, Coach, is the idea that these freshmen will not lose a year of eligibility. And you and I did have that conversation, I know, before the season was right as the season was officially canceled. So how has this changed things up for you? I know that you were in communication with outgoing high school seniors, but you also have, you know, a group of maybe some sophomores, some freshmen that aren't losing a year of eligibility. So how has that affected the team as you look ahead to 2021?
So honestly, I mean, it's a tough recruiting job. I mean, with especially filling for those seniors of this year's 2020 class, we'd have the opportunity to return a lot of our guys. A lot of our guys were enjoying the season, sophomore, freshman combined. I look at this year as, I mean, in a positive note, as a trial run. We got to kind of see what was working, see what wasn't working, go and add the few pieces. On the recruiting style, we are bringing in a little bit less like high school seniors than a normal year, just because some of these guys have now been with our program for coming into 3 years.
That's an interesting nuance in JUCO. I know that this is one of the toughest conferences that a team could play in. Obviously, there's some big budget schools within this conference. They get the same benefit that we do, right? They're going to have kids coming back for 2 or 3 years within their program. But for a first-year manager like yourself, to have some kids, as you mentioned, a trial run, and to have these kids come back, you probably found some comfort, right, and some things that you learned from that you can implement going forward.
Oh, very much so. I mean, I had a great group of kids already to start with, and then to kind of have those guys that were with me from, I mean, the beginning of my time, now they get to come back and help keep that culture that we're trying to bring here with the baseball team. Is we want to be a top notch, and we do play great competition, but just by being good teammates, being good people off the field, we can go compete on the field with anyone. And so getting those guys back and having some of those guys that I'm familiar with is going to be helpful just the same, as it will be nice for them to be able to know the conference, know the competition level that they need to play at to compete well here.
Coach, what's been the best aspect for you as a manager recruiting kids? Because you were in that spot not too long ago. You played at USU Eastern, so you're younger. I'm sure you can communicate with these kids. So what's been the best part for you when you try to approach a recruit to come to USU Eastern?
A couple things. I mean, one, the junior college route is one of the best ways I believe you can go get playing time. It's got top-notch talent, but you can come here right away and get on the field. That helps the kids want to play a ton, because at some of those 4 years, it's pretty tough for a walk-on freshman or even just a regular freshman to get playing time. Or down here, I mean, you can come as a top-notch player. You're going to play kids getting drafted every year. With parents, I mean, honestly, and a lot of students that we recruit, the academics is huge. Our school's academics, I mean, you can't match it with anyone in the junior college ranks. And so between academics and being able to play right away and not being a bench guy or something like that, we find the most success in those two things.
As far as your playing days, Coach, what's one of the things that you feel you can relate to with a potential student-athlete coming to your program? Something that maybe you could relate to that maybe an older coach wouldn't be able to?
I think I kind of know the grind, I would say, a little bit closer to them, because I myself, I'm still a student here at Utah State Eastern. So I understand the kids' life. I understand that, hey, we're here to play baseball, but these kids, a lot of them, I mean, that's the first time moving away from home. They're in new classes. They're taking different things. They're meeting new people. They're not in their high school scene. So we really try to just work well on just communicating with our players, saying, hey, if you're struggling and stuff, like, let your coaching staff know. Let a teammate know. And that's just the big thing, is we don't try to bury any kid. And I think having the youth of our coaching staff, I mean, a lot of those things, we just know kind of where that kid's at in life, and we can relate to him a lot easier than being 20 years out of the game type thing.
Again, our guest right now is manager Kirk Haney of the USU Eastern baseball squad. Coach, when you talk about the youth, you're in such a unique situation. It's a unique opportunity. In my field, I hear about these coaches throughout the state, be it at high school or wherever, that have coached in one particular spot for 30-plus years. In fact, we just had that with Coach Todd Jeffs at Emory High School with the boys basketball program. You were young enough and had immediate success, winning 11. You were 11-9 when the season came to a close. 9-3 at home, right? You're young enough that 20 to 25 years from now, if you so choose, there's an opportunity that your name could be a legacy at a school where people look at it and say, "Man, I guys been here for 3 decades," right? You don't get that often with coaches of age, but with you coming with this youth movement, that's something that's possible. Have you given that any thought?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I really love. I've grown to love this community. I came here as a player first, and I mean, my family's here. This is where I enjoy doing everything with, and I mean, that would be a dream that one day you could be known as a legacy. I honestly grew up, I mean, my dad is one of those guys that's been a 30-year coach. He's starting his 34th year, I believe, in high school baseball up north. So I've seen the legacy that can be built from someone that has that much influence, and I'd love to have my name with some of the greats from this community that have been through these programs, the PARs and some of those like that. And I mean, you see him around town and everybody knows him. It's something that would be, I mean, that would be a great goal for me to have, especially in this community. We teach our players that, I mean, sometimes you come here and you're just thinking you're going to be a baseball player, but by the time they leave this place, I mean, I have kids begging to come back and wanting to finish longer here at school, and we have plenty of kids that have stayed in this community just to live their life.
Coach, let's talk about the home field. I know that there has been some construction, and obviously you having this opportunity, right, this extended period of time to not have baseball, you've probably had an opportunity to put maybe your own fingerprints on the home field. And again, it was very kind of the team this year, 9-3. What are some of the things that we can expect from that field that you've been working on?
Yeah, we've been really excited. I think that's, I mean, just the fun thing of kind of getting a new staff in. We get excited. My family's been awesome. My wife, I mean, I can't thank her enough for the things that she's done to help out. But no, we've went in August of last year. We went in and completely remodeled The players clubhouse, it's where they spend a lot of time before practice, after practice. Public doesn't see it as much, but this summer, as soon as the shutdown hit, we had the idea to change the stadium to kind of fit our school a little bit more. So between in-laws, my parents, my wife, and some of our assistant coaches, we went through and we've repainted the whole stadium. We've brought it to the navy and gray to match our school colors, and it's just an eye-pleasing thing. We'll get some logoing up, so I think it's a good change. I think the community's been happy. They can drive up past the Little League fields, and they see that the change is coming. There's some new things happening over there, and I mean, I'm as excited as anybody to see our players' faces when they come in and see, I mean, the change from brown and green to navy and gray.
Coach, last question before I let you go. Before you know it, the kids will be reporting for fall semester. I know it's not that far off. We already have some plans in place. So between now and then, what's your main objective as a manager of this baseball team?
Ours right now is, I mean, making sure our kids are active. The summer is really a hard time to, I mean, you can't be on them. You're not with them every day at practice. But we make sure our kids are active, and I'm a coach of the philosophy is they don't have to be playing baseball every day. They don't have to be in the sport every day. They have to be doing stuff as working out. A lot of our guys go and work construction jobs, and some of those things we try to teach them to find something in your job, find something in your life that you can relate back to baseball, whether it's the same movements. But that's kind of where we're at with those things, is just making sure people are active. These summer months, if you work hard, you can see it in the fall. If you take it off, you can also see it in the fall, and you come back behind the game.
Coach, it is always a pleasure to get you on. It's a pleasure to talk about the USU Eastern baseball program. I always look forward to the conversations. Thank you again for making time today, and I know we'll talk again real soon.
Awesome. You bet. Thank you very much.
That's Coach Kirk Haney again of the USU Eastern baseball team, taking out the time to join us here on the show. We're going to break for just a moment. More baseball talk when we return. We may be inching closer to a condensed, shortened major league season. Perhaps. We'll talk about that when we return right here on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must... Say it again. Buscarini. All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queensbridge, you already know.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down.
Price, Utah.
Now.
Me and my man, Trav.
Yeah!
Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We have more news coming in on the Major League Baseball restart. This coming in from Bob Nightingale of the USA Today. Major League Baseball and the union are moving closer to a deal. It's not done yet, but it could be finalized as early as tomorrow or Friday, and it would offer a 60-game season to players with full prorated contracts. Now, if this deal can be completed by Friday, the plan would be that players will they'll report to spring training by June 29th. There'll be 3 full weeks of spring training. Most teams will train in their own home cities, and then they'll start the season on July 19th. I mean, it seems very fast, right? July 19th, that's when we're off and rolling. And again, that's according to Bob Nightingale of the USA Today. So what would a 60-game season look like? I go back to it. Major League Baseball has to put a heavy emphasis on division games. They have to. And each division holds 5 teams. Right, so even under 60 games, you can play, and I don't know how you would make this work, but you could play each division opponent 12 times. That takes you to 48 games right there. You kind of control the bubble, you control the amount of travel, and then if you were to consider there's 10 other squads, I don't know if you'd play each team one time. I don't know if maybe you play each division opponent 9 times. I mean, I don't know what a 60-game season is going to look like. But when you go back over the course of the last 5 years and you play a 50-game season, you have a mess. If you just looked at the first 50 games of the previous 5 seasons, things look completely insane considering the way it actually went down. I mean, for instance, the Dodgers are in the midst of becoming the Atlanta Braves of the 90s because they dominate their division, but they can't get over the hump to win a World Series. So I bring the Dodgers up because they have dominated the NL West, but if you go back over the last 5 years and take a look at a 50-game season, that's not the case. The Giants would have won the division in 2015. They would have won it again in 2016. They would have, the Rockies would have won it in 17. The Diamondbacks and Rockies would have tied in 18, and the Dodgers would have won in 19. And like I said, I just bring the Dodgers up because they have dominated that division for so long, but when you look at the way a 50-game season changes things up, changes it drastically. I mean, last year, 50 games, the Washington Nationals would not have even made the playoffs. They won the World Series. Now, I think there's other variables that you have to consider, especially if we go into a 60-game season. When you reduce the sample size to 60 games, you get a mess. But when you do it with an 82-game schedule, 22 of the 30 true division champions wound up winning their division. That's with an 82-game season. So we have to be somewhere in the middle if we're looking at 60 in comparison to 50 or 82 games. And I think for me, probably the most intriguing variable of all is how will a manager handle a 60-game season? Right, because in today's world of analytics, 162-game baseball season, managers use their rosters in more sustainable ways. Maybe you'll give a pitcher an extra day rest. Maybe you put someone on the injured list that shouldn't necessarily be on the injured list. They could play through it, but it's a 162-game marathon season. 60 games, every regular season game is going to matter. And I wonder how those games will be treated. Right? You also have to look at the usage rate of a pitcher. For instance, Dave Martinez is not going to throw Max Scherzer 9 innings throughout the course of a 162-game season if he gets, say, what, 30 starts. Maybe he'll throw 2-3 complete games, maybe. Even in today's world, again, of analytics, you try to stray away from that. If you play fantasy sports, you understand what a quality start is and how difficult it is for a pitcher to record a quality start. For instance, if you don't know what a quality start is, you got to go 6 innings and give up 3 or less runs, earned runs. There's a lot of pitchers that go 5 1/3, 5 2/3. Finding a starting pitcher that regularly goes 6 innings and gives up 3 or less runs, that's difficult. Now, that may change. That may change. You may see some of your higher-paid pitchers, a la Gerrit Cole, he may be prone to pitching 7 or 8 innings just to get the arm in shape for the postseason. I don't know how managers are going to actually approach this. Now, according to Bob Nightingale, it's not set to be a 60-game season because the players requested an 89-game season in their last proposal. They could still seek a longer season if they make a counter-proposal. 75 games, somewhere in that realm. The union, however, has yet to determine what they're going to do with the latest proposal. But this is the very first time in any negotiations that the owners have agreed to pay full prorated salaries. And that's something that the players' union all the way through has said, yes, we want full prorated salaries. And in my mind, the only way to really come to some sort of conclusion to this whole standoff was going to be for the owners to A, amp the amount of games up, play somewhere from 80 to 90, and the players go from 100% to 90% of prorated salaries. And in my mind, that's the only way I thought we were ever going to come to some sort of agreement here. Players are also going to ask that the postseason is expanded from 10 to 16 teams, and they will agree to not file a grievance. So it's all promising. It really seems like we may get some Major League Baseball after all. And this game could avoid a disaster of epic proportions, and not playing a season. Because at the end of the day, that's something that baseball just simply cannot go through right now. They can't. We've seen it before in the mid-90s. You know, we call baseball America's pastime, Everybody knows that the NFL is king in this country. And in my mind, the NBA, it's right there with Major League Baseball. I don't think there's much doubt about that. Just looking at it from a logistical standpoint, here's what I believe we need. We need a 68-game season. Let me just throw this math off at the top of my head. Give me a 68-game season. You play each team in your division 12 times. Division play has to be a factor because there is such a reward in Major League Baseball for winning your division. We can't go away from that. So that takes us to 48 games. There are 10 other teams throughout your league. Play them twice. There you have it. 2 times 10 is 68. And you can play doubleheaders because it's going to be a condensed season anyway. Right now, the owners are proposing 60. I think we need to be somewhere from 66 to 68. 68 would be ideal. And there's no interleague play. I understand Major League Baseball wants to really limit the amount of traveling. They want to make sure that these guys are not necessarily locked in a bubble, but contained, similar to what the NBA is doing in some sense. But the good news is, if you're a fan of baseball, I think we're going to get it back relatively soon. We could have a deal in place by tomorrow or maybe even Friday. We're going to take one more quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll talk NBA basketball here on Drive Time Sports. Kyrie Irving has been a very interesting topic himself as of late. I don't need to necessarily go into detail about Kyrie himself, but the idea of A, not playing, or B, starting their own league, players pulling away from the NBA. How ludicrous is that? Yeah, we'll talk about it when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Hi, this is Jason Kidd. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Bescarini, KOAL, 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios. We're going to wrap up this edition by talking NBA basketball. I'll bring in Travis Anderson to help close this out. Conflicting reports out there regarding Kyrie Irving, who is the vice president of the Players Association. He's cautioning players to not go to Orlando, although he certainly seems to be in the minority. There have been a few other players speak out on this. I got to be honest with you, Travis. It seems absolutely insane to me that no player would want to go to Orlando, especially with everything that the league has laid out. You know, I got to be honest, this may sound somewhat heartless, but I have a hard time feeling bad for any NBA player with what has been laid out. I really do. I think the league has been over backwards to try to A, save this season, B, make it enjoyable and comfortable for its players, and C, set up the league moving forward, including next year as we enter with the final year of a CBA. I think the league has done everything it possibly could for its players, yet there are still players that are unhappy with it. And honestly, I don't know if it's the social issues. I don't know if it's the idea that they're now going to be stuck into a bubble, which I've heard several times. But to me, it's absolutely ridiculous.
It's the nicest summer camp that you're ever going to find. The way that things are laid out, the nicest hotels, they're going to get the nicest food. I mean, everything is laid out perfectly to finish the season and not, you know, hamper what's going to happen next season if you don't come back and play, where, you know, the CBA gets ripped up and then, you know, there's a strike and all that and a lockout. So it's a pretty good gig to go there for a couple of months and play basketball and finish the season.
Yeah, so the league has announced, well, I shouldn't say the league has announced, sources have announced where teams would be staying. So they divide them into three tiers, top-tier teams, which the Jazz are included in the top-tier team. They get the Grand Destino, which is at Coronado Springs, beautiful hotel at Disney World. The next tier would get the Grand Floridian. I've actually been to the Grand Floridian many of times, gorgeous. And teams with a losing record would get the Spa and Yacht Club Resort. Okay, now here's what the players would get in going to Florida. They get access to a players-only lounge that includes TVs, arcade gaming, access to NBA 2K and ping pong. 24-hour VIP concierge is going to be available for the players. The handbook says daily entertainment is going to be made available, and that includes movie screenings and DJ sets. Each team itself is going to have a dedicated Disney culinary team to create individualized team menus that will support dietary needs with health and safety guidelines. There's going to be team-sponsored outings, such as privatized restaurants, boating, bowling, fishing, golf. And players are going to have access to virtual services like yoga, meditation, mind and health sessions. Yeah, excuse me for not feeling sorry for any of these guys. You've got to be kidding me. You're talking about a $100,000 summer vacation that is personalized to you. And Kyrie Irving, for whatever reason, wants to sit and say maybe the players should go out and create their own league. This is what happens when people don't think things through. And Kyrie is not thinking things through. Any player in the NBA, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's LeBron James. I don't care if it's Kevin Durant, James Harden. It doesn't matter. Giannis, anyone. No player in the NBA can move off or is going to move off a $136 million contract to start their own league to compete with the NBA. That is the most baseless threat that I have ever heard.
Yeah, well, the guy that thinks the world is flat never really makes sense anyways. So you shouldn't take anything, Kyrie. He's always been off the wall.
Well, and I don't, and again, there's conflicting reports that he said this, but Ryan Russillo tweeted out, said, this is nothing new. Kyrie has actually talked to players about starting their own league before.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter. Take the Drew League, for instance. Do you know what the attendance is at the Drew League?
No.
It's like 2,000, I think, at the most. I mean, you're not getting a ton of fans. Do we pay attention to the Drew League in the offseason?
Couldn't tell you anything about it. Don't care anything about it.
You know that NBA players and former players participate in the Drew League, though. You're aware of that.
Yeah, they show up and play, yeah.
Nobody cares about it.
Don't care.
Because there's no brand behind it.
No.
See, we're in this mindset that the players, and don't get me wrong, the players are an extremely important factor to the game of basketball or football or baseball. There's no question. We love talented athletes. But the talented athletes have brands backing them. And that matters. Otherwise, if it didn't, why would a guy like LeBron James bolt from the Eastern Conference in Cleveland, where he went to 7 consecutive NBA finals, tying in his time with the Heat, to go play for the Lakers, who hadn't made the playoffs in 5 years? Could it be that that brand is fairly big?
Yeah, he's looking for his future and that branding right there. So, yeah.
Why does Nike offer incentives to players if they play for certain teams?
The brand is bigger.
Of course it is. I mean, I'm not saying that the players don't matter at all. But when you actually have someone start even throwing out the idea of players starting their own league, for one, it's impossible in this country. It's never going to work.
No.
It's never going to work. The USFL had some talent. It had some great players. The USFL didn't work. And you can go ahead and tell me any of a million reasons as to why it didn't work. The number one reason is it's not the NFL. The XFL has tried twice. It didn't work because it's not the NFL. Right now, we don't have Major League Baseball going on, so people are watching the KBO. How many people are really watching the KBO?
Gamblers.
That's it, right? Come on. It's not going to work. This is insane. And again, when you go over the amenities that are being offered, what more could you ask for as a millionaire player? I mean, if you want to be on the same level as the owner of the team, it's not going to happen, right? The team, that team owner has invested into that brand for a reason. They deserve to reap the benefits of it. But to sit here and say, well, we're not happy with this proposal, we're going to go off and start our own league? I mean, that's insanity to me. Insane when you take a look at the amenities and what the league is doing to make sure these guys are taken care of in Florida, Orlando. It's nuts to me. And I'm telling you, Kyrie Irving is definitely the minority when we're talking about players that are into this particular proposal.
Yeah, he's in the minority, like you said. He's just one of those guys that's always been off the wall.
Nuts to me. Out of time of this edition of the show. We will be back to do it again tomorrow. We have a fun one lined up for you. I want to talk some boxing. Haven't been able to do that in a while. That'll be on Drive Time Sports tomorrow, right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.